Praise God. Hallelujah. You have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read those first five verses. I'm reading New King James here, and the rest of the scriptures I give you tonight are all New American Standard. But this first scripture, New King James, Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject of passion, being passionate for the Lord. God's called you and I to a life of passion. He doesn't want us living a dull, boring Christianity. He didn't create you to live a dull, boring, milquetoast type Christianity. He created you and I to live a vibrant, thriving, fulfilled life with Jesus Christ every day, exciting, adventurous. Somebody says, "But you know, I just have a boring job. I just have a routine life." Hey, with Jesus, there's nothing boring. There's nothing routine. I said, Jesus will make adventure out of every day if you'll look to him. We're talking about passion for Christ tonight. Passion for Christ. Moses was on the backside of that desert with his father-in-law's flock, and he didn't expect to see what he saw there. But when he saw a bush burning, he took notice because he expected the fire to consume the bush. But the fire didn't consume the bush. The fire kept burning within the bush, and it got his attention. So much so he turned aside and said, I've got to go see why that bush isn't being burned. And that bush wasn't burned because it wasn't a natural fire. If it had been a natural fire, it would have consumed the bush. It was a holy fire. If I could say it this way, it was a Holy Ghost fire that was burning on that bush. And it was that Holy Ghost fire that consumed the bush, and it got Moses' attention. And when Moses stopped and looked and was looking at the bush, then God spoke to him. And God told him, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And where there is holy fire, there is the holy presence of God. And God has created you and I to burn with holy fire, just like that bush. Passion is a very important part of living the Christian life. Passion keeps life from being boring and dull and mundane. What is passion? Passion is a strong feeling about a person or a thing. Passion is an intense emotion. It's a compelling enthusiasm or desire for something. I'm going to say that again. What is passion? It's a very strong feeling about a person or a thing. Passion is an intense emotion, a compelling enthusiasm, or a desire for something. Passion is a strong and barely controllable emotion. It's an intense desire. Other synonyms for the word passion are fervor, zeal, vigor, energy, spirit, enthusiasm, obsession, appetite, addiction would all be words that would be synonyms for the word passion. Especially tonight, we'll look at the word fervor. Fervor in the New Testament as we talk about passion. An antonym would be apathy. People are passionate today about lots of things. If you talk about secularly, you know, when we're not in church, we all have passions about different things. If we just speak secularly for a moment. Now, for example, I love open wheel racing, open wheel race car, Indy type cars. Now, I love that because I got that from my dad. He was in the military 20 years, and my family for a while, we lived overseas. We lived in France, and We lived in a little tiny town called Semur, and I went to a little French school there, my sister and I, and my other sisters as well. And but in France, they have something called the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And my dad, he became passionate about the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and he talked my mom into, when I was just a baby, he talked my mom into letting him take me to the 24 Hours of Le Mans by himself. And so he did that. Just he and I headed off, so we were there more than 24 hours, and I don't know, we just came up, and then, you know, we lived in New Jersey, we'd go up to the Poconos, and we'd watch the Indy races there. My dad would take me to the Poconos. Poconos was great because they had a 500-mile track, and you can run cars 3 abreast around the track at different points when it's a 500-mile type track, a bigger track like Indy. And then at Trenton, where we lived, just outside of Trenton, there was a track there, and the Indy cars came through there. I remember my dad and I, we joined the Mario Andretti fan club, 1969. And every race we went, we cheered for Mario till Mario stopped racing. Then we cheered for Michael Andretti. And Michael stopped racing, we started cheering for Marco. And on Sundays after church, when there was an Indy race on, my dad would call. And we would kind of commentate through the race. We'd both be watching the race. He's in New Jersey, of course, I'm here. And he'd call and we'd talk through the race. And do you see where Michael is, or Mario, or Marco is? Where are they at, you know? And then when we had opportunity, we would go. And I had such a joy many, many years ago, you know, because my dad always took me to all those races, and I had an idea one day, and I thought, man, I want to take my dad to a race many moons ago. So I took my dad and Steve, and I called him and said, Dad, I'm taking you to a race. I'm paying for everything. Just going to fly you out to Michigan. We're going to go to Michigan, the Michigan 500. Down there near Livonia, Michigan, so flew him out there and had just had a nice hotel, and Stephen and my dad and I, and went out to the race. We had a great time, and the only thing wrong was I told my son Stephen, now look, we root for the Andrettis, and Stephen started rooting for a guy named Paul Tracy, and that wasn't too good. Anyway, we gave him a hard time about that, but we stopped going. My dad couldn't walk. I noticed there at that race he was having trouble negotiating the steps, and he didn't want to go to the restroom or anything. He didn't want to drink anything because he didn't want to have to go to the restroom, and he was concerned about his knee, and I didn't realize that, so we didn't go to any more races because he sure would have gone, but I didn't want him to be in pain. But that passion for racing has carried on, and now that my dad's in heaven, I was telling my boys just not long ago, hey, look, we're going to go to a race soon. I want us all to go to a race and just enjoy a race. Another thing I'm passionate about, I love playing the guitar. Virtually every morning, I get up and play the guitar. And it's rare in the morning if I don't play. I just love playing. I have a passion about playing. I'm not all that good, but I love playing. I have a passion. Don't interpret my passion for excellence in playing, but I am passionate about playing. I love to play. I started playing the guitar many moons ago, having our daily quiet time, our daily devotion with my wife. And at that time, we would worship God listening to music on a cassette. And then listening, as when the CDs came out, we would listen to worship music on a CD. And so one morning, we were having our prayer time. We were worshiping God. And we were, for the music portion, we were singing along with a CD. And I never forget, on our knees, our eyes were closed. We were just worshiping the Lord. But when I opened my eyes, I was playing something like an air guitar. It was very embarrassing to me. My wife, her eyes were still closed, so I just immediately dropped my hands and just kind of played it off. But a few days later, we were worshiping God again, and I caught myself doing that. By the time we're just worshiping the Lord, just getting lost in worship to Him, and when I was conscious of what I was doing, I looked like, what am I doing? And so then that a third time that happened, and that time my wife was looking at me and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I don't know, that's been happening lately. It feels like there's a guitar in my hand. She said, you know anything about a guitar? I said, I don't know anything about a guitar. And I said, I think the Lord's trying to tell me something. She said, I think He is too. You ought to check it out. You ought to check into it. And I called a brother, some of you may know, Glenn Henry. And I called up Glenn and said, Glenn, I don't know anything about the guitar, but brother, I want to learn how to play. And he said, no problem. With a thought like that, I didn't know such a passion would develop in my heart from that. And so I didn't have a guitar, but we were going out to dinner with this couple, and you know, I shared that story, and then the wife of the other couple, she said, praise God. She said, I have a guitar. And she said, I just got blessed with a brand new guitar. And she said, I've been asking the Lord, what should I do with my old guitar? And she said, the Lord just showed me, just wait, I'll show you. And she said, the moment you started saying, I knew I'm supposed to give you my guitar. So I went from having no guitar, playing an air guitar, to instantly I had a guitar. Didn't know how to play it, but I had a guitar. And Glenn came over and showed me how to play one finger chords, two finger chords, and then full chords. And I don't know, we do somewhere about 100, maybe 150 different songs. Just worship songs, praise songs to the Lord. It's just a great way to start the day or end the day. And I love that. But I have a passion for that. Secularly, I have a passion for playing golf. No doubt you have some other passion in your life too. Let me tell you this, God is a very passionate God. God is passionate about you. Our Father God expressed his passion for you through the giving of his Son. Yes, yes, yes. If you had been the only person here, Christ would have still died for you. Yes. Father God is passionate about you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He's passionate in his love for you, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Amen. The Lord Jesus, his passion was expressed through his giving of his life, his agony, his suffering, his crucifixion, his death and resurrection are commonly known as the Passion of the Christ. Long before the 2004 movie, The Passion of the Christ, his agony and suffering and death and resurrection were always known as the Passion of the Christ. Over in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Go there with me. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Now, these scriptures, all of them, New American Standard. Zechariah 2, verse 8. You are the center of God's attention. You are the center of who God is passionate about. What's God passionate about? God's passionate about people. What people's God passionate about? He's passionate about you. Zechariah 2, 8, it says this, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. You know what that means? God said, if somebody's messing with you, they're messing with the apple of his eye. Why? Because he's got his eye on you. Why? Because he's passionate about you. God, your heavenly Father, he is passionately in love with you. You are the apple of his eye, and there's nothing you can do about that. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He gave his Son. Why? Because he's passionately in love with you. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. We're talking about God. You're the center of God's attention. He is passionate about you. I'm talking about you. He's passionate about you. It's easier to understand sometimes in natural thinking, well, God may be passionate about my neighbor. Well, God may be passionate about somebody across town or across the world. God is passionate about you. Romans 5, 6 through 8, for while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were lovely, before we were lovable, God was so passionate about you, he still sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. I said his love is unconditional, his love is all-consuming, and his love caused him to love you and I before we responded to him, before we loved him back. He loved us. When we were going the wrong way, when we weren't worshiping him, when we were following the wrong way and following the devil, God still loved us. He loved us when we were not lovable. He is passionate about you. And there ain't nothing you can do about that. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. This is this scripture here is one that I play on the guitar. It's a song. It's actually a song. But Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. Let me read that again, because this is the way some people's Bible reads that. The Lord your God in your midst is a defeated warrior. He will exalt over you with sadness. Your Bible say that? Okay, I'm just making sure. Let me go back. I'm just making sure. My bad. The faux pas on me. My bad. Let's read that. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. Let me ask you this. If the victorious warrior is in your midst, what is it the victorious warrior is trying to do for you? He's trying to give you victory in every area of your life. I said, there's a victorious warrior in your midst. He is your heavenly Father, and he wants you and I to walk in victory. You said, you don't know my circumstance. I don't care about your circumstance. He wants you and I to walk in victory. If we'll become consumed with the victorious warrior who is in our midst and not consumed with circumstance and problem and people, there's a victorious warrior in our midst. And he will exalt over you with joy. I love that. Listen, God exalts over you with joy. God thinks about you with joy. God sings about you with joy. God speaks about you with joy. And let me tell you, if the Lord is speaking about me with joy, I'm going to speak back to him with joy. If God's got joy over you, if God has joy concerning you, it doesn't matter what you're going through, your response back to him should be joy. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Because then Nehemiah 8:10 would be true. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If God's got joy and you got joy, that's all it takes. I said, that's all it takes. The devil's outnumbered. You and God and joy have got the devil outnumbered. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I love that. God rejoices over you with shouts of joy. Glory be to God. I said, you are the center of his attention. You are what he's passionate about. Go with me to John chapter 10 now. John 10:10. We've got to go faster. John 10:10. Our time is almost gone here. John 10:10. Let's go faster. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. When he says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, he's talking about that abundant life includes a life full of passion. Acts 18:25. If you don't get there with me, write it down. You can look it up later. Acts 18:25. Look on the screen. It'll be up there. Acts 18:25. All these New American Standard. This man, talking about Apollos, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. What was it about Apollos? He was fervent in spirit. He was fervent in spirit. And what does that word fervent mean? It means to be hot. It means to boil over. If we could show the rest of that verse, if we didn't show. There it is, yeah. It means to boil over. It means to be so hot, it's boiling. And what's it saying about Apollos? Apollos in his spirit for Christ. He was on fire for Christ is what it was saying. He had a fervent spirit. He was on fire for the Lord. The Lord didn't create you and I to burn lukewarm. We were created to burn one way, and that's hot, boiling over for Jesus. It's the only way the Christian life works. It's the only way to live the Christian life, to be on fire for Christ. It says he was fervent in spirit. Romans 12:10-12. Romans 12:10-12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. There it is again. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. The Bible commands you and I to be hot, to be on fire in our spirits as Christians, as believers, to be fervent in our love, to be fervent in our passion for Christ. There should be nothing that consumes our time, our energy, our finances like Jesus Christ. Whatever else secularly we might be passionate about, that's all right. That's all right for that. You might be passionate about gardening. That's okay. That's wonderful for that. But there should be nothing in our lives that even compares to our passion for Jesus Christ. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purposes of prayer. Verse 8, above all, 1 Peter 4, 8, above all, keep fervent, there it is again, in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. The Bible says, keep fervent in our love. Keep fervent. Our love should be stirred up hot on fire for Christ. Jesus said this, the world will recognize that you're my disciples by your love. He wasn't talking about an ordinary human love. He wasn't talking about a worldly love. He was talking about the God kind of love that gets stirred up. Now, we all have that love. If you're born again, that love's been shed abroad in your heart. Romans 5:3, we all have that love. But listen, it's up to us. When the Bible says keep fervent, that implies there's something you and I have to do. It implies it's not automatic. The fervency part is not automatic. The love part is automatic because God put that in our hearts when we were born again. But the fervency part is up to you and I. To make it boil, to make it hot, that's up to you and I. And the way we do that is through meditating in His Word and reading His Word and speaking His Word. And if you're having a trouble getting your love to boil with that unconditional love of Jesus, you need to get in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, especially the Amplified Version, and quote that and quote it and quote it and quote it and quote it. And I said, God will speak to you. God will help you. Sometimes it takes remembering where we were. Go to one more scripture and we'll leave it there. We just have to leave it there. Revelations chapter 2. Just ran out of time. Revelations chapter 2. We'll have to leave it there. Revelations chapter 2. For the sake of time, I won't read the first three verses. Paul, between Revelations chapter 2 and Revelations chapter 3, writes a letter to seven churches with an individual word to each of those seven churches. Five of the seven he tells to repent. Yet people today in our culture tell us you don't have to repent anymore. He wrote to five of the seven churches telling them to repent. But here, as he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, verse 4, but I have this against you. He talked about all the good things he did. I have this against you. You have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. He said three things. He said, remember where you've fallen from. He said, repent. And he said, do the deeds you did at first, or you could say this, repeat. Remember, repent, and then repeat the things you were doing. How many remember what it was like when you first became a Christian, when you first got saved? Man, you talked to the Lord all the time. You read the Bible all the time. You went to church. You hit the church every time the doors was open. Nobody can relate to that. You prayed, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you prayed in the Holy Ghost. You prayed, some of you prayed all night long in the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever remember doing that? Just prayed all night long. After anything that came along, you say, hey, let's go find the Word. Let's go check it out in the Word. Let's go read the Word. You had a passion for the Word. You had a passion for the church. And you, no doubt you still have that passion. What are you saying? God's calling you and I to burn brighter, stronger, hotter than whatever we're burning tonight. If we're already hot, He wants us boiling over. If we're already boiling, He wants us hotter than that. You might be sitting in your pew right now, or sitting on your couch at home, and the pew and the couch is on fire because you're on fire. Somebody's looking at you saying, "Ooh, that pew is not being consumed. That's a holy fire." But however hot you may be, God wants you and I burning for Christ, hotter than we are right now. And if you've lost that fire, if something else is consuming your passion, if something else is consuming your attention and your heart and your money and what you think about and dominate, if something else has taken that place, listen, you've got to get that back. He said, remember where you were. Remember what you did. And if necessary, he said, repent. If Christ is not your sole, supreme, single, spiritually talking about passion, then it's time to repent. We're running out of time. Fire musicians, come on back and let's do that. Let's do just a couple of lines of that song one more time. And one of the songs that we sang tonight. And I just want you to stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I want you to forget about who your neighbor is. I want you to forget about where you're going when you leave church tonight. I want you to forget about what you got to do Monday morning. I want you to forget about what somebody's going to think if they see you raise your hand or say hallelujah. I want you to forget about everything around you. When you all get set, just go right back into that song. Just go right back into it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And just let him consume you. Let God speak to you. Lift your hands to the Lord. Just surrender your will to the Lord. Just surrender. Just make him. If he's not 100% your passion, make him your passion. Just go right ahead. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make him your passion. Make him your number, your only spiritual passion.
Oh, Holy Spirit.
Come on and sing. Come on and sing.
Burn like a fire.
Yeah.
All consuming. Consume me here in your presence, Lord. I surrender to your glory. For your, let's sing that again. Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, consume me.
Yeah.
Consume me here in your presence, Lord. I surrender.
Yeah, just surrender to it.
To your
just surrender
glory,
to it.
For
if
your
he hasn't been the Lord
glory,
of your life, surrender to it. Come on.
Living water, river wild in me, thirsty in your.
Surrender ourselves to your will. And Father, somebody may be here who has allowed something else to become their passion spiritually, and they have allowed something else to take that place, that God-shaped void that only your lordship can hold, can form. So speak to hearts. You may be here and God's been talking to you. Can we have our prayer team come up here? God's been talking to you. Something's not right. Something's not right. You know something's not right. You can sense the Lord's talking to you. Something's not right. Your passion, something's not right. Just get out of your seat. Come down here as an act of your will. Just come down here. Pray with one of these guys. If you're a guy, come down here, pray with one of these guys. A girl, come pray with one of these girls. Or you can come down here and pray on your own. You can come and pray with one of these folks, or you can come and pray on your own. But respond to the Lord now. The Bible says when you hear his voice, the worst thing you can do is harden your heart. The worst thing you can do is sit right there. The worst thing you can do is be cognizant of people and aware of who's around you when God's speaking to you. And you know the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, telling you, hey, I haven't been your passion. But God's got open arms to you. And he's saying, come on home, come on. Let me be your passion. Let me consume you again. Don't be embarrassed. We're all family. Just get up. Just come right on down here. You can come and pray on your own, or you can come and pray with someone. Just come right on. Don't be down. Don't be embarrassed. What you're saying is, God, you mean more to me than any person. You mean more to me than any individual. You mean more to me than what somebody thinks. I want to be right with you. I want to burn like that bush. I want a holy fire to burn upon me. Oh, that's what you're saying to him. And if you'll respond, oh, a holy fire is going to burn. It's going to burn within you. It's going to burn up everything that consumed you before, every desire you had before, every desire that wasn't centered on Christ. That holy fire is going to burn that up. It's going to burn that up. And what's going to be left is a holy, pure, purified desire for Jesus Christ. It's going to be only Jesus. Just come on down. Don't you be embarrassed. Just come on down. Let somebody pray with you, or come pray on your own. You're responding to the Lord. You're not responding to a man. You're not responding to people. Oh, there's a holy presence on you. It's the Holy Ghost. He wants to burn within you. He wants to consume you. Oh, with that holy fire. That fire that burned on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:4. That fire that burned in Matthew 3:16 when Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that fire is a holiness. That fire is a purity. But that fire is a passion for Jesus. Oh, if you'll respond to his voice, he's going to burn. He's going to burn in you and on you. People are going to say there's something different about you. Something happened to you. There's something, I don't know what it is, but something's different about you. People are going to be drawn to that heat, that fire on you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the audience, lift your hand. If Christ is, listen, if he's the center of your attention, come on and bless him, praise him, honor him, reverence him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. If there's anything you need to let go of, let go. If there's something you need to repent of, repent. Let it go. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you for that holy fire. Thank you, Father, for that all-consuming fire. Oh, that Holy Ghost fire. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the holiness of it, the purity of it. Oh, thank you, Father, for the passion of it. We honor you, bless you, and thank you, giving you the glory and the honor and the praise. Oh, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We have run out of time, but God is not through with you. There's something that started here that you need to rekindle when you get home. And if you'll just be sensitive down on the inside, listen to the Lord a little bit. If you're burning already, he's going to make you burn brighter than you've ever burned. If you're already hot, he's going to make you hotter than you've ever been. He's going to make you boil over with passion for Jesus Christ. He's going to take you to another level if you'll be sensitive to him. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a baptism, the Holy Ghost and fire. That fire is a holiness. It's a purity. It's a passion for Jesus. That fire will burn it up. It'll burn up everything that's not a passion for Jesus. It'll burn it up. Leave you just with Jesus. If you're here tonight and it was your first time, our connection team members, go to them and welcome them. Did we have any first-time guests, Brother Marvin? Did we have any first-time guests? Yeah. Connection team members, go to them. Take them to that place. We're going to give you a good gift just for coming. Just for coming. We're just going to bless you just for being here tonight. They're not going to keep you long. They'll give you the gift and get you right out. Some of you, God's speaking to you up here. Some of you, God's speaking to you there in the pew. Some of you, God's speaking to you at home. Don't thrust it off. Don't thrust it off. We started something and ignited something. Listen, when I say we, I don't mean me. I mean God started something in you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit started something in you. And if you'll go home and pay attention to that, yield over to it, you're going to see some changes. You're going to see some big changes. Some big changes. Oh, man. Oh. You can tell when somebody has a passion for Jesus. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in their eyes. You can just be around them a little bit and you know what they're passionate about. Yeah. Father, thank you for speaking to your people. We've endeavored now and done our best to share along the lines. Father, thank you now for continuing to fan that flame in your people. We'll give you all of the glory. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that's it for tonight, my friend. If God's speaking to you, remember, don't harden your heart. Listen to his voice. Let him talk to you. Let him guide you and direct you. If he tells you to repent, do that, because he's got something good in store. After repentance comes restoration and revival. So God's got something good in store. You be right here. You be right here on Wednesday for Hour of Power. Then be here Sunday, 9 a.m. is School of the Bible. Of course, 10 o'clock is Mighty Word of God. And so you be right here. Remember to pray for Pastor Mrs. Hagen this week. We love you all so much, and we will see you next time. You are dismissed. God bless you.